the cities of Baguio and Iloilo among the latest areas to be placed under a stricter COVID alert level. You know, a health expert suggests placing Metro Manila under alert level 4 to prevent the latest surge from spreading further. A group of health workers expressing concern over the growing number of frontliners contracting COVID-19. We'll discuss this with Alliance of Health Workers President Robert Mendoza. And the Philippines full body holds its preliminary conference on the disqualification petitions against presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad to have you with us today. We begin with the latest on the battle against this pandemic. Over a dozen more areas in the Philippines placed under COVID-19 alert level 3. That's as the number of COVID-19 cases nearly doubled from the other day. The affected areas include the cities of Baguio, Olongapo, Naga, and Iloilo, as well as Cagayan Province, Pampanga, and Bataan. The stricter alert level will be imposed from January 9th to 15th. Authorities earlier placed Metro Manila, Bulacan, Cavite, Laguna, and Rizal under alert level 3. From a little over 10,000 cases on Wednesday, the number of new COVID infections rose to over 17,000 on Thursday. The positivity rate also hit a new record high of 36.9%. The University of the Philippines' COVID-19 pandemic response team says the current COVID figures could actually be a lot higher.
We are estimating that only around 10 to 20% of symptomatics will be reported, because we know there are some symptomatics which, they just stay at home and weren't able to get tested. Or sometimes there are people tested by antigen but not reported to RT-PCR, because in DOH, the reported cases are just for RT-PCR. There's no way for DOH to verify this, because only the reported one. But if the people really wants to see the results of the simulation, to be transparent, we might be seeing 300 plus thousands cases around us.
If a former government advisor on the pandemic had it his way, Metro Manila would be under even tighter mobility restrictions. Dr. Tony Liachon says the capital region should be placed under alert level 4 for at least 2 weeks.
Yung alert level 3 na nagawa na natin starting January 3, parang hindi nakatulong siya. Ang rule kasi sa hammer and dance concept, pagka ganito ka-steep ang curve at saka ang transmission mo taas, baka kailangan itaas mo sa alert level 4 ang epicenter. Ang problema ho natin, pag kumalat ang kumalat yan, baka buong Luzon madamay. Ang Visayas and Mindanao natin po ay problema because of the typhoon. At alam naman nyo, baka makarating sa Bicol, tapos makarating sa Bismin, tapos yung mga evacuation center in the countryside, madamay po ito. Mahihirap, gigiba po ang healthcare system natin.
President Duterte orders village officials to do everything they can to prevent the unvaccinated from leaving their homes. This includes restraining and arresting them if they insist on going out. Duterte also says he's prepared to face the legal implications of his order.
In the absence of a law, Presidente is called upon to act. And because it is a national emergency, I'm now giving orders to the barangay captain to look for those persons who are not vaccinated and just would request them or order them, if you may, to stay put. If he refuses, then the barangay captain, being a personal authority, is empowered now to arrest the recalcitrant persons. The barangay captain can also mobilize civilians and adopt them as give them the task officially, probably written, and that converts their status from being a civilian but also a person in authority called upon to assist the persons in authority. They can file cases. I'd be happy to answer. Sabi ko na, mayroon naman akong kaso sa ICC, di ipatong na ninyo para isang sagutan na lang pagdating ng panahon.
More personalities contracting COVID-19. Presidential candidate Senator Panfilo Lacson said he tested positive, but he is asymptomatic. Senator Sherwin Gatchalian also testing positive for COVID. He says he has mild symptoms. He also urges the public to get their booster shots. The Chief of the Armed Forces of the Philippines, General Andres Centino, also positive for COVID. He's currently in an isolation facility in Camp Aguinaldo. And our very own Head Start host, Karen Davila, also revealing she and her family tested positive for COVID-19. The latest increase in COVID infections comes as the Philippines detects 29 additional cases of the Omicron variant. This raises the number of confirmed Omicron cases in the country to 43. Of the 29 new cases, 10 were returning overseas Filipinos, while the rest were local cases with addresses in Metro Manila. The Omicron variant appears to be less severe than Delta in both younger and older people. According to the WHO's clinical management lead, early studies showed a reduced risk of hospitalization from Omicron. Its impact on the elderly is still being studied. The chief of the global health body warned against labeling the Omicron as a variant that is mild.
While Omicron does appear to be less severe compared to Delta, especially in those vaccinated, it does not mean it should be categorized as mild. Just like previous variants, Omicron is hospitalizing people and it's killing people. In fact, the tsunami of cases is so huge and quick that it is overwhelming health systems around the world.
He also repeated his call for greater equity in the distribution of vaccines.
Vaccine inequity is a killer of people and jobs, and it undermines a global economic recovery. Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, and Omicron reflect that in part because of low vaccination rates, we have created the perfect conditions for the emergence of virus variants. At the current pace of vaccine rollout, 109 countries would miss out on fully vaccinating 70% of their populations by the start of July 2022. But some countries are moving toward vaccinating citizens a fourth time, while others haven't even had enough regular supply to vaccinate their health workers and those at most risk.
The Philippine Health Department preparing for the worst-case pandemic scenario. Health Chief Francisco Duque III says they are ready to source health workers from different sectors. This includes the police and the military, as well as postgraduate interns. Duque adds his agency will deploy frontliners from the different parts of the country if hospitals in the capital region are overwhelmed again.
Postgraduate interns waiting for the results of their board exams. So they are being asked by the hospitals where they finished their internship to help, to volunteer. So meron na po tayong programang ganon na nakakatulog po sila on top of our regular human resource for health. And we also have an augmentation program. We are making sure that all available healthcare professionals will be on deck and prepare for the worst case scenario.
President Rodrigo Duterte, meanwhile, promised to raise the special risk allowance given to volunteer health workers.
I think that the 5,000 is masyadong maliit ngayon. Considering the attendant danger to the guys medyo they should be given more. You take into account the possibility of danger. They themselves will get the, because of the, they have to go near and they have to treat those people. I will increase. Hindi ko pa masabi magkano. Wala mang budget dito.
Tama po kayo, 5,000 is a pittance that will not really attract or properly incentivize these volunteers, no? Considering the risk that they will face. So a much higher amount is in order.
The delayed release of health workers' benefits triggered protests from medical frontliners across the country last year. Meanwhile, the Alliance of Health Workers again raising the alarm over the rising number of frontliners who are getting infected with COVID-19 amid this latest surge. And here to talk to us is the group's national president, Robert Mendoza. Robert, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for joining us today. Nice to see you again. Robert, I think you're on mute. Kindly unmute.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Yes. Happy New Year, Robert.
Happy New Year po, Ma'am Katrina. Carmina, salamat din po sa pagpapaulak.
Okay, let's talk about the figures yesterday, no? Yung mga numerong lumabas from 10,000 to 17,000 just in a day. Those figures were staggering. At ang mas nakakabahala dito, katulad na rin ng naunang naiulat, marami ang mga nagkakasakit ngayon ay ang mga health workers. Kamusta ang hanay ninyo, Robert?
Ang nakakalungkot po, no, nakakadismaya din kasi nakita natin na ang infected talaga ngayon kahit sinasabi na prior ganda ng ating gobyerno yung hospital utilization. Pero dapat tingnan din nila yung mga health workers natin kasi ang dami na pong na-infect. Kasi kung lahat ay na-infect na, sino nang mangangalaga ng ating mga pasyente, ng ating mga kababayan, sana bigyan talaga ng priority ng ating gobyerno ang ating mga health workers din doon sa usapin ng health and safety, yung protection, sa usapin ng PPE na dapat bigyan talaga ng PPE na standard na PPE kasi maraming mga substandard din ang mga PPEs. And then at the same time, dapat meron talagang mass testing or free libreng mass testing para sa mga health workers din para mamonitor natin ang ating itong search na ito kasi marami rin mga health workers na yung iba ay nasa bahay lang. So mas maganda po talaga dapat meron silang maayos na quarantine facilities at kompleto dapat para maboost yung immunity ng ating mga health workers din.
Nabanggit mo, Robert, yung mass testing. I'm going to have to ask you, umaasa pa ba kayo dito considering the statement that Health Secretary Francisco Duque said the other day na namamahalan siya, walang budget. It's going to be too expensive for the government if they embark on mass testing. Anong pananaw mo dito?
Nakakagalit din po ito kasi alam natin na ito lang naman ang tamang solusyon din na mas testing na libre dapat para sa mga kababayan po natin. Marami naman tayong mga inutang din sa mga iba't ibang sa World Bank at ibang banko pa. So kaya naman kasi ang mas testing hindi naman tinutukoy natin na buong Pilipinas agad. Pwedeng kunyari may mga surge sa isang area. So doon sa isang area, magkaroon ka ng mass testing. Ito naman ang sinasabi natin na hindi naman sabay-sabay na mag-testing ang buong Pilipinas. Kung saan yung may surge. So mass testing dapat, libre dapat ito kasi mahal ang RT-PCR, ang swab test dito.
In fact, maraming ang nagsasabi na yung mga figures na nakikita natin ngayon, malamang mas malaki pa dyan ang totoong figures, no, ng nagko-COVID positive dahil yung iba, hindi na nga nagpapatest. They just ride it through kasi nga namamahalan sila.
Yes po. At dapat ito ang binigyan ng prioridad ng ating gobyerno, lalong-lalo na sa usapin ng budget fund for COVID-19 response. Kasi sinasabi nga natin na hindi sapat ang budget for the Department of Health para tugunan at malabanan natin yung COVID-19 response. Kasi kung doon na sa budget for sa top 10 na mga ahensya ng gobyerno, pang-8 na lang ngayon ang Department of Health. Dati sinasabi na pang-4, pero kung tatanggalin natin yung budget for the PhilHealth, budget for the National Nutrition Council, konti na lang ang matitirang budget for the Department of Health na paghahati-hatian ang ating 76 DOH hospital. Kaya Itong COVID-19 response na itong panawagan sana namin dapat 10% of the GDP dahil may pandemya para naman masugpo natin itong COVID-19 na ito. Kaya talagang bigyan talaga ng prioridad ng ating gobyerno ang budget pangkarusugan dahil dito umaasa ang ating mga kababayan din doon sa usapin ng libreng servisyo pangkarusugan. Kasi alam natin na sinasabi nga ng Department of Health, 7 out of 10 Filipinos ay namamatay na lang na hindi nakakakita ng doktor o health facilities. So dapat doon pa lang sa statement nila, i-prioridad talaga na dapat nagdagan ang budget ng kalusugan at itigil yung mga budget cuts sa mga pampublikong hospital.
Pero Robert, isa ba ang grupo ninyo na naniniwala na the figures that we're seeing could be actually higher?
Yes, oh, tama po yan kasi marami na yung mga kababayan po natin na takot na rin pumunta sa hospital. At the same time, dahil ang ating mga hospital ay wala na rin libre, kaya yung iba nag-home quarantine na lang sila. Pero alam natin na nagkakahawaan din yan doon sa kung kaya tataas pa talaga ito kung COVID-19 na ito ng Omicron na infection na ito.
Here's the thing, Robert. Di ba we experienced a lull? Maganda yung sitwasyon sa ICU, mababa ang mga numero ng nagko-COVID positive. Noong mga panahon na yon, tingin nyo ba ay nakapaghanda ng husto ang gobyerno? Considering that at that time, Omicron surges were already happening in other countries at paulit-ulit na lang natin ito nakikita na kung anong nangyayari sa ibang bansa, it eventually finds its way here to the Philippines. So, based on your assessment, sa assessment ng grupo ninyo, nakapaghanda ba talaga this time around ang ating gobyerno?
Based on our assessment, nakita natin na hindi talaga handa ang gobyerno.
Why do you say so?
Nakita natin kasi yung tuloy-tuloy pa rin na contact tracing, dapat may scientific na may mga plano na dapat hindi mag-source. Kasi sa panahon ng November pa lang, meron na tayong Omicron po. Ano. So dapat napaghandaan na ito at yung mga borders talaga ay closed kasi kagaya ng ibang bansa. And then, hindi sana magsusurge dito dahil sana yung sinasabi nga ni Mayor Magalong na dapat wala tayong contact tracing na maayos. So, kung maayos lang yung ating contact tracing at same time, kung inayos din yung malalang understaffing, sana makakatulong po ito dito sa kahandaan ng ating pagharap sa Omicron na ito.
Let's talk about the understaffing. Kasi kung malala last year, mas malala ang sitwasyon ngayon. Hindi ba? Sa lack of manpower. And we're not just talking about those who are falling ill because of COVID-19. We're also talking about those who are not with us anymore because they either resigned, pumili ng ibang trabaho, ng ibang bansa. Meron sinasabi, may panukala, Robert, na kukuha ng ibang health workers from other sectors. Anong pananaw niyo dito?
Ang pananaw po natin, no, hindi naman yan talaga ang solution po. Ano. Alam natin na matagal ng panahon na mayroon vacant plantilla positions ng Department of Health. It's almost 14,000 plus. Na ang sabi natin na sana i-open ito para sa mga health workers para magkaroon ng regular plantilla positions. Ang problema lang kasi sa atin dito, maraming mga health workers natin na nasa ibang area. Kunwari, nasa BPO. Kasi napakababa ng sahod ng ating mga health workers kumpara sa Southeast Asia, tayo ang pinakamababa. And then, kaya yung iba nasa BPO dahil mas malaki ang sahod ng sahod doon sa BPO. Kaya ang panawagan din natin, i-fill upan yung vacant plantilla positions nasa Department of Health. And then, kung nadoble ni President Duterte ang sahod ng mga kapulisan, tublihin na sana para manatili yung ating mga health workers dito sa ating bansa at hindi na umalis.
So tingin mo, kapag dinoble yung kanilang sahod, marami ang gugustuhin magtrabaho para sa gobyerno?
Yes, ito yung nakita na natin kasi bakit umalis yung ating mga health workers sa ibang bansa for a greener pasture, di ba? Sa atin nga, ang sahod ng ating mga nurses ay nasa 32,000 na yung entry position. Pero kung titingnan natin sa mga private, mayroon pang nasa 5,000 to 10,000 lang. Pero kung titingnan natin sa Southeast Asia, ang kanilang sahod is nasa 100 plus monthly. Samantala yung sa atin nasa 30 plus lang. At yung iba mababa pa nga. Kaya kailangan talagang dublihin ang sahod ng ating mga health workers. At palagay natin, sa palagay din namin sa Alliance of Health Workers, maraming mananatili dito sa ating bansa ng mga health workers at hindi na iiwanan yung pamilya para for a greener pasture ang kanilang gagawin.
Kanina, before we got you on air, napakinggan natin si President Duterte mismo ang nagsabi na gusto niya yung special risk allowance ay taasan. He doesn't believe that 5,000 pesos is enough. Anong masasabi niyo dito?
Hindi po sapat yung 5,000 neto, kaya kailangan talaga. Kasi ang panawagan niya namin dito sa special risk allowance doon sa Senado habang dinidinig ang ating budget ay dapat maging 15,000 po ito. Dapat itaas talaga ito kasi once na nagkasakit, buhay kasi ang inilalaan natin dyan. So dapat itaas talaga siya ng compensated talaga yung ating mga health workers dito sa usapin ng special risk allowance.
And finally, because ang hanay niyo na rin ang naapektuhan ano, nitong latest surge, do you believe that alert level 4 should be implemented given the rising number of cases that we're having right now, Robert?
Kung meron lang tayo siguro ng sistematiko at maayos na mga tao diyan sa IATF, madali lang po sana itong hindi na sana tayo aabot sa level 4 na ito. Kasi alam natin na ang matagal na nating panawagan na dapat yung mga nasa IATF ay yung mga expert talaga dapat, yung mga scientists, virologists, yung mga doctors talaga na may knowledge about kung paano labanan itong COVID-19 na ito. Kaya yung alert level 4, hindi rin ito makakatulong pero wag naman masyadong yung mga mamamayan din natin na wag nang lumabas kasi kung kailangan tagal lumabas dapat tumabas kasi pag alert level 4 ano na yan mas mahigpit pa yan na quarantine status.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Robert Mendoza, President of the Alliance of Health Workers. Thank you for joining us today, Robert. Ingat po kayo and thank you for
maraming salamat po, Juan Carmina.
Keep safe, take care. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the Commission on Elections begins tackling disqualification petitions against presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on AMC. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The cities of Baguio and Iloilo among the latest areas to be placed under a stricter COVID alert level. Meanwhile, a health expert suggests placing Metro Manila under alert level 4 to prevent the latest surge from spreading further. And a group of health workers expressing concern over the growing number of frontliners contracting COVID-19. And the Philippines poll body holds its preliminary conference on the disqualification petitions against presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Back with more news, the First Division of the Commission on Elections held a preliminary conference on disqualification petitions against presidential aspirant Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The petitions being tackled were those filed by Akbayan, martial law survivor Bonifacio Ilagan, and Abubakar Mangelan of Partido Federal ng Pilipinas. The proceedings were delayed for an hour because Marcos's camp failed to provide a medical certificate proving he is not feeling well enough to attend the hearing. Reports say Marcos is now under isolation after being exposed to two people who tested positive for COVID-19. They were given 24 hours to file their manifestation, while all the parties were given 48 hours to file their memoranda. The poll body, meanwhile, issues a resolution requiring parties and candidates to register on or before January 31st all their verified accounts and sites. The COMELEC says only verified accounts and sites may run election-related propaganda, subject to the policies of the platforms. Chile will soon begin its rollout of a fourth COVID vaccine dose, becoming the first Latin American nation to do so. Take a look.
Chile is set to become the first country in Latin America and one of the first in the world to offer a fourth shot of the COVID-19 vaccine as the highly transmissible Omicron variant is spreading worldwide. Chilean President Sebastián Piñera on Thursday said the extra dose will first be offered to immunocompromised citizens.
Experience has shown us that the vaccines and boosters' efficacy diminishes over time and with the appearance of new variants. For these reasons, we want to announce today that starting next Monday, January 10, we are going to start a new mass vaccination process with a fourth dose or a second booster dose.
Con una cuarta dosis.
Come February, more Chileans will be able to receive the fourth shot.
Starting Monday, February 7, we'll extend this vaccination to citizens of age 55 and over who have completed 6 months since their last dose, to medical workers and to people who may be at risk.
Chile has one of the world's highest vaccination rates, having administered two doses to over 85% of the population. And data shows about 57% have received a booster shot. News of a fourth dose in Chile comes as several countries report all-time high COVID-19 caseloads, even among vaccinated populations.
Meanwhile, Italy has expanded the coverage of its vaccine mandate. More in this report.
Italy has made COVID-19 vaccination mandatory for people aged 50 and over on Wednesday. The measure is immediately effective and will run until June 15th. It's one of very few European countries to take similar steps in an attempt to ease pressure on its health service and reduce fatalities. Italy has the second highest death toll on the continent after Britain. They've registered more than 138,000 coronavirus deaths since February 2020. Prime Minister Mario Draghi's government had already made vaccination mandatory for teachers and health workers. And since October last year, all employees have had to be vaccinated or show a negative test before entering the workplace. Refusal results in suspension from work without pay, but not dismissal. Wednesday's decree toughens this up for workers over the age of 50 by removing the option of taking a test rather than vaccination. Ministers from the right-wing league issued a statement distancing themselves from the over-50 vaccine rule. They called it, quote, without scientific foundation, considering that the absolute majority of those hospitalised with COVID are well over 60. Italy was hit later than several northern European countries by the highly contagious Omicron variant. But its cases have steadily risen with growing pressure on hospitals and intensive care units. It has seen an average of more than 150 deaths per day over the last 2 weeks. Around 74% of Italians have received at least two vaccination shots and 6% have had just one jab, according to Our World in Data.
The U.S. marks 1 year since the deadly attack on Capitol Hill. U.S. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris delivered remarks to remember one of the darkest chapters in recent American history. In a speech, Biden took a deliberate aim at former President Donald Trump, calling him out for still attempting to undo American democracy a year after his election loss. But he stopped short of calling Trump by name.
We must be absolutely clear about what is true and what is a lie. And here's the truth. The former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He's done so because he values power over principle, because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest. And because his bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution. He can't accept he lost. The former president and his supporters have decided the only way for them to win is to suppress your vote and subvert our elections. It's wrong. It's undemocratic. And frankly, it's un-American.
U.S. lawmakers, meanwhile, held a prayer vigil on the anniversary of the Capitol attack. They paid tribute to police officers and officials who defended the Capitol from a mob of Trump supporters.
On behalf of the distinguished Democratic leader of the Senate, all of our colleagues from the House and Senate, we prayerfully walk 1 year since the insurrection and patriotically honor the heroes who defended the Capitol and our democracy that day. Let us all here join in a moment of silence in memory of those who lost their lives and sacrificed so much for our democracy that day.
It's been a year since rioters stormed the U.S. Capitol, which sent lawmakers fleeing for their lives. Four people died in the hours-long chaos after Trump urged his supporters to march to the Capitol and, quote, fight like hell to stop the certification of Biden's 2022 election victory. Going to take another break now. Still ahead, the Philippines' unemployment rate eases in November. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. With more news, the Philippine government says it is ready to provide assistance to overseas Filipino workers who will be affected by Hong Kong's recent ban on flights from Manila. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam earlier banned flights from several countries, including the Philippines, Australia, the U.S. and Canada, due to the threat of the Omicron variant. Local air carriers, Philippine Airlines, Cebu Pacific and Air Asia have all canceled trips to Hong Kong for the next 2 weeks.
Binabantayan natin ngayon sa airport yung mga posibleng maapektuhan kasi ng mga nakaraang karanasan, nakikita na natin na nasa stranded sila. At although in general, ang mga recruitment agencies are very cooperative at have the resources to help yung mga magiging stranded sa airport, hindi matutuloy yung flights, etc. Pero meron tayo kasi yung mga balik manggagawa, yung wala na sa recruitment agency arrangements, kusang loob na lang nanunumbalik sa kanilang employer. Sila yung malamang natutulungan natin. Kung wala silang matutuluyan dito sa Maynila, kung taga-probinsya sila, taga-ibang regions, ay tutulungan natin sila magkaroon ng shelter. Of course, food and accommodations yan ano, na ibibigay natin sa kanila. At assistance na rin yung transport from the airport at kung saan man nila gusto magpahatid. So nakahanda tayo ngayon na tulungan yung mga posibleng mas stranded gawa nitong restrictions sa Hong Kong.
In business, more jobs were generated in November last year as the Philippines eased COVID restrictions. The unemployment rate for the month fell to 6.5%, an improvement from October's 7.4%. That's still equivalent to 3.16 million jobless Filipinos. The fishing and aquaculture industry contributed the most jobs, followed by the services sector, as the lowering of alert levels paved the way for the reopening of salons and spas. Meanwhile, underemployment rose to 16.7% in November. This suggests that many Filipinos are still looking for additional hours of work. The Philippine Central Bank prepares for its so-called pandexit strategy. It says when the conditions are right, the BSP will unwind its monetary policy interventions during the pandemic. But no timeline has been set yet as emerging COVID-19 variants remain a threat to economic recovery. The strategy includes the eventual raising of interest rates and unwinding of measures that infuse liquidity directly to the economy, like provisional advances to government.
The timing and conditions under which the BSP will start unwinding its pandemic-induced interventions will continue to be guided by inflation and growth outlook over the medium term.
The BSP has kept the country's benchmark interest rate at a record low of 2% since November 2020. Analysts expect the central bank to start tightening monetary policy this year. President Duterte approves amendments to a measure that aims to further open up the country's retail sector. Duterte signed the amended Retail Trade Liberalization Act, which will lower the minimum paid-up capital for foreign retail investors to 25 million pesos. Under the previous version of the law, foreigners can set up wholly owned enterprises with a minimum paid-up capital of $2.5 million or some 127 million pesos, subject to certain requirements. The measure is one of the priority bills cited by Duterte in his last State of the Nation address. Business groups had been calling for the passage of the measure, saying it would encourage more foreign direct investments into the Philippines. The world's biggest tech showcase returns to Las Vegas after a one-year pandemic hiatus. But as Beverly Renta tells us, this year's electronics or consumer electronics show saw smaller crowds and fewer tech companies.
After a year's hiatus due to the pandemic, CES is back in Las Vegas. The annual tech showcase kicked off when CES unveiled an event exclusively for registered media 2 days before the main show. Companies of all sizes, prominent tech industry influencers, and international media were in for a sneak preview of the latest gadgets. In a conversation with ABS-CBN North America Bureau, CTA President Gary Shapiro insists that the show must go on despite the pandemic and last-minute cancellations of giant tech exhibitors.
CES is a very important platform, and we thought it important that we go forward for the smaller companies and the mid-sized companies and even larger companies, because ideas and innovation can come from anywhere. And we want the people in the Philippines to be happy and healthy and benefit from these amazing advances in innovation.
With empty exhibit spaces and zero queues, CES unveiled had much smaller attendance compared to previous years. Nonetheless, exhibitors from all over the world continued to display and unveil their products. These urine test strips from Vivo for personalized nutrition and lifestyle advice promise to track your wellness at home using just your urine. It instantly gets ratings of your body's parameters.
Urinate here.
Urinate here.
Yeah, this colorful area. Then click to test. And you just scan it with the mobile application. And instantly you'll be getting your hydration, your pH, magnesium, calcium, vitamin C. And you can connect your wearable data.
Okay.
And based on all of this information, you get personalized recommendations, meal plans.
Meanwhile, Arculus FX claims that their product reduces fatigue of workers caused by long hours of work by supporting their standing posture. This smart helmet upgrades your riding experience and safety while connected to your smartphone. It does call navigation and emergency alerts with real-time location.
What it does is that it improves the safety conditions of motorbike riders.
As for Vettel drones from Bangkok, Thailand, it shows off this fixed-wing drone that can take off and land vertically, just like a regular drone. This Enopathy for dog lovers, on the other hand, is a smart dog collar, a communication device that records the mood and wellness of your dog. Tired of brushing your teeth for a long time? You can now supposedly brush your teeth in just 10 seconds with the Y brush. It is composed of 35,000 nylon bristles and has three sonic vibration modes.
It's a Y shape, so you can like brush one jaw and then do the other, and in 10 seconds it's done.
Although CES is closing one day early this year, over 2,200 exhibitors from all over the world are confirmed to exhibit in person at CES 2022. Bev Lorente, ABS-CBN News, Las Vegas.
In sports, Novak Djokovic remains in limbo while awaiting his deportation from Australia. And as this report tells us, tennis's world and number one has had his visa revoked after failing to justify why he should be exempted from vaccination requirements for the Australian Open.
Men's tennis world number one Novak Djokovic will be holed up at this quarantine hotel in Melbourne until Monday, awaiting a deportation hearing. The Serbian player, who's publicly criticised mandatory vaccines but consistently refused to disclose his own inoculation status, had his visa revoked when entering Australia ahead of the Australian Open. Djokovic's family argue he's been a victim of politics, and in Serbia, the tennis star's mother, Dijana, accused Australia of keeping her son captive.
I feel terrible
since yesterday, last 24 hours, that they are keeping him as a prisoner. It's just not fair. It's not human. So I just hope that he will be strong.
Border control forces say the tennis star failed to provide sufficient proof of a medical exemption from vaccination, a requirement set out by the country's government. A previous medical exemption caused a storm of protest in Australia, and the saga has led to an international political row, with Serbia's president claiming his nation's most celebrated sportsman was being harassed. Fans of the tennis player, meanwhile, staged a protest of support outside Djokovic's quarantine hotel, while hundreds stood outside the Serbian parliament to take a stand against the entry ban. And major tennis stars like Rafael Nadal have also waded into the debate.
Of course, I don't like the situation that is happening. In some way, I feel sorry for him. But at the same time, he knew the conditions since a lot of months ago. So,
but for now, Djokovic is in limbo as his lawyers seek an urgent injunction against his deportation.
In the NBA, New York Knicks star RJ Barrett banked in a three-pointer as time expired to lift his team to a 108-105 victory against the Boston Celtics. The Knicks overcame a 24-point deficit to set up Barrett's miracle shot. Evan Fournier led the Knicks with a career-high 41 points, while Barrett added 13. New York improved to 19-20, while Boston dropped to 18-21. Filipino Muay Thai fighter Philip Delarmino nominated for the World Games Athlete of the Year Award for 2021. Delarmino, who gave the Philippines a gold at the World Muay Thai Championships last December, became the first Filipino candidate for the award. He will be joining 24 candidates from 17 other countries. The winner will be decided via online polling that will run from January 10 until January 23. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. Next on In Focus, it's the turn of Buhay Party List Representative Lito Atienza to talk to us about his bid for the vice presidency. Our interview with the Promby candidate will be on January 11th here on Dateline Philippines. Have questions? Send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Don't forget to use the hashtag ANC In Focus. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.